Praise the Lord. Making decisions, friends, in the dark can lead to some regrettable consequences. Back in the days before electricity, a tight-fisted farmer was giving his hired man, was taking his hired man to task for carrying a lighted lantern when he went to visit his girlfriend. "Why," he exclaimed, "when I went a-courting, I never carried one of them things. I always went in the dark." "Yes," the hired man said with a grin, "and look at what you got."
Sorry, you're not getting any feed.
Can't fix it.
Sorry.
I just moved it from there.
So, what do we wait now?
I put, you couldn't see you on the camera, so I just turned that to where you can see you there.
But not yet. Okay. Can you can the people hear me on Zoom? Can you hear me? You can't see me, right? That's okay. Amen. Amen. None of us, friends, want to be average. Parents do not dream about their children being underachievers. We always want the best for them. In fact, we desire to have the best for ourselves. We desire to have excellence in our lives. The good news for Christians, friends, is that God wants us to have a life of excellence. Listen, God wants you to have a life of excellence. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, that we may have life and have it to the full. The King James says that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Meaning, Jesus wants us to have an excellent quality of life. Jesus calls his followers to live at a higher level. Listen, I'll say that again. Jesus calls his followers to live at a higher level. I read about a monument to a rescue worker in the Alps, in the Alp Mountains. There was a group of mountain climbers who were stranded in a snowstorm. And so a room was sent out for them. But in the midst of the rescue, one of the rescuers was overcome by the conditions and he passed away. So they set up a monument to this rescuer, and the monument had the inscription, or was inscribed with the words, "He died climbing." He died climbing. And as a Christian, I think that that would be a great way to be remembered. He or she died climbing. I want to go out climbing to the higher level that Jesus calls us to. A crowd of Jesus' followers sat and listened to him teach and preach. The crowd heard his calling to a radical new life and what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. The Sermon on the Mount, friends, was not a gimmick. It wasn't a pep talk on self-improvement. No, what Jesus was telling his disciples, what Jesus was telling his followers, and what Jesus is telling us in this sermon was that we are to live at a higher level. I am stressing, do you know why? Sadly, in the world today, Christians are dragging their feet. Christians are below mediocrity. Christians are just getting by. And Jesus is saying, hang on, I want you to live at a higher level. So Jesus begins his sermon with the Beatitudes, friends, of the life that is surrendered to God. In his book, Grace for the Moment, writes, observe the sequence. Now he's talking about the Sermon on the Mount. First, Max Lucado says, we recognize we are in need. We are poor in spirit. And ours is the kingdom of heaven. He says next, we repent of our self-sufficiency, we mourn, and we will be comforted. We quit calling the shots and we surrender control to God, we become meek, and we will inherit the earth. So grateful are we for his presence, that we yearn for more of him. We hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we will be satisfied. Now, Max Lucado writes, as we grow closer to God, we become more like him. In other words, he goes on to the next beatitude and he says, now we forgive others. In other words, we are merciful and we will be shown mercy. Then we change our outlook on life. We become pure in heart and we will see God. We love others. We become peacemakers and we call children of God. We enjoy injustice. We are persecuted and ours is the kingdom of heaven. Max Lucado goes on to say, it is not a casual shift of attitude. No, it's the demolition of the old structure and the creation of the new. Friends, to advance to this higher level that Jesus is mentioning, the old self must be put to death. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Did you see that, friends? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Jesus teaches his followers and begins with how their new life will be. He shifts into giving them their higher calling. Now, last week, friends, we talked about it. Jesus uses a metaphor. He first tells us that we are the salt of the earth. That we are to add divine flavor to a spiritually bland world. That we are to be preservatives that hinder the work of Satan and the moral decay of the world. And also that we are to create a thirst for God in the lives of those who don't know him yet as Lord. Then, friends, Jesus uses another metaphor. He says that we, his followers, are to be the light of the world. Now, unlike the salt, which Jesus never claimed for himself, not once did Jesus say, I am the salt of the earth. No, not once. But Jesus did say that he is the light of the world. Isn't that something? Let's just go through a few verses. John 8 verse 12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 1 4. John says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Psalm 27 verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And now today, friends, in our text, in the Bible text for today, Jesus says in Matthew 5 verse 14 to 16, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds, that they may see your good deeds and praise the Father in heaven. Scriptures tell us that God is light. Scripture, Jesus says that he is the light of the world. And then Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Do you see that, friends? What an enormous compliment. That God is light, Jesus is light, and you are the light of the world. Isn't that something? But note, friends, to be identified with God is an enormous responsibility as well as a compliment. Whatever light is and does, a believer is to be and do. Salt is hidden, but is a hidden but a very powerful influence. Light, on the other hand, friends, is visible. It's a revealing influence, and it represents our testimony of Jesus to the world. Throughout the Bible, friends, light represents truth and grace and the works of God, while darkness symbolizes sin and evil and the works of Satan. In our passage for today, we are told that we are light. Ephesians 5 verse 8 expands this by declaring that believers, what believers were. It says, for you believers, you were once darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Live as children of light. It amazes me how Christians want to flirt with evil, with darkness. Light gives life, friends. Without light, life would not be possible on this planet. In this way, only God is the light. He alone is the giver of life. Like the sun, he is the source of light. The moon gives off a light as well, but the light does not generate from the moon. But the light from the moon is only a reflection of the sun's light. Isn't that true? Moon got no light of its own. Just reflecting the sun's light. So when Jesus declares that you are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, when he says this, friends, he is declaring that we are a reflection of His light shining in the dark world. Scientifically, salt is called sodium chloride. Light is more difficult to define scientifically. Webster's dictionary gives it a go. It defines light this way: an electromagnetic radiation in the wavelength range including infrared, ultraviolet, and X-rays, and traveling in a vacuum with a speed of about 300,000 kilometers per second. More specifically, it's a part of this range that is visible to the human eye. Now, to me, that's just a mouthful of a definition. Anyway, salt and light can alter the world. Do you agree with that, friends? So does a Christian. This is probably why Jesus uses these common everyday images to describe His people and the influence we are to have in the world. There are some simple lessons we can learn from today's text, friends, that will help us to live on that higher level God calls us to. And the first thing, the first lesson we learn, friends, listen, is that we are to be different. We are to be different. Jesus says in Matthew 5 verse 14, we're just going to look at A now. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. There's a contrast that we notice here. The world is dark, and we are to be different from the world in our very nature. We are called to brighten up the place. I was told that this is a true story. I was kind of disappointed though, but it was true. A man in a suit yelled at, scolded a worker in the Golden Corral restaurant on a Sunday. It is said that the worst crowd of people in the restaurant business to wait on is the Sunday afternoon crowd. It is tragic that those workers dreaded waiting on Christians. They complain about Christians being rude and whiners and complainers and bad tippers and you name it. They didn't look forward to the Sunday crowd. Now, isn't that a tragedy, friends? Isn't that like the worst thing you heard today? But it shouldn't be that way, friend. When we live as light, we are different. We must ask ourselves, what do people see in our life that reminds them of Jesus? What character traits do we have that are similar to His? Do we have to go around telling people, hey buddy, I'm a Christian? Do we have to do that? Walk in West Edmonton Mall, guys, I'm a Christian. No. Or simply being in our presence, they see that there is something different about us. Isn't that true, friends? They can just see. Do people look at us and say, wow, they've got something we want. They've got something I need. Jesus said, we are the light of the world. The world is dark, but we are different. The second lesson we learn from these verses is we are to be obvious. We are to be visible. Then Jesus says that our faith should be so evident that we are to be like a city that is on a mountaintop, glowing in the night for all to see. The second part of Matthew 5, verse 14, 14b, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Did you see that, friends? The city on the hill cannot be hidden. In ancient times, cities were built on mountaintops for defense purposes. And even today, in military tactics, one is taught to always have the high ground. It's easier for defense. When you build a city on a hill, it cannot be hidden. The same is true for someone who is the light of the world. When someone is different, they stand out. They are obvious to everyone. When Jesus wants us to be obvious to the world, friends. God doesn't need undercover Christians in the secret service. I'm an undercover Christian. Nobody knows me. I'm in the secret service. God doesn't want that. There are Christians who disguise themselves during the week to make sure no one knows they are a follower of Jesus. You heard about this young man who became a Christian. The next summer after becoming a Christian, he went to a lumber camp to work. His pastor became concerned about him because he knew it would be difficult to be a Christian in the lumber camp. So after the summer was over and the young man returned home, the pastor called him and said, "Son, I want you to know that I was praying for you while you were working the summer in the lumber camp. I know that there can be hard men up there, and I prayed that they wouldn't be too hard on you." The young man replied, "Oh no, Pastor, I didn't have it hard at the lumber camp. You know, Pastor, none of them ever found out I was a Christian. Besides, they..." Those type of Christians miss the point. God needs Christians who are full of the Holy Spirit. Don't you love being around people who have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? Don't you just love being around those people? Full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the world would know we are his by our love. If you love others, then you will be obvious. But while God wants us to be obvious, he doesn't want us to be obnoxious. There are Christians who go around just bashing and condemning other people. How many people I had to straighten out? Because they were telling me how bad that church is down the road. And how the people from that church are going to hell. Because they don't do this or they do that. Stop it! We don't bash and condemn people. That wasn't your job. In fact, you know, John 3:16 is the most famous verse in the Bible. But do you know the one after that is something we need to look at? John 3, verse 17. Let's look at it. It says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Isn't that true, friends?
Yeah.
If Jesus didn't come to the world, he didn't come to this world and go around condemning people, then I too don't have the right to condemn others.
Amen.
Ephesians, it's not on the screen, it tells us to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. If you go out and try and preach the gospel and your point of departure is condemning the people before you, you get nowhere, friends. Jesus doesn't want us to be obnoxious, but he wants us to be obvious. He wants us to be visible. And that brings me to the next lesson we learn. We are to be strategic. We are to be strategic. Matthew 5:15 says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. It doesn't make sense, friends, to put a light in a place where it cannot shine. Isn't that true? There's a place under the pulpit here. If you haven't been here, it's dark underneath here. Now, if I put a light there, hey guys, there's a light. You'll say, where is it? Why is it hidden? That is the same with the church. We must be strategic, friends, in making sure we stand out so that many can see the light. You know, Jesus was very wise and he used strategy. He knew his plan meant that he would not always be here on earth forever. He will not be here forever. You know what he did? He chose some fellas. He chose 12 of them. What did he do? He taught them. Why? So that they can go and teach others. And the others can go and teach others. And so on. Do you know what he says? What the Bible says? He said in Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. And you know the Jerusalem fellows, Judea fellows, will be witnesses in Samaria. And all of Samarian fellows will be witnesses for me to the ends of the earth. Is that strategy? Or is that winging it? Yeah, it was very purposeful, on purpose, friends. In being strategic, friends, we must have excellence. People are attracted to excellence. Paul told the church in Colossae, Colossians 3, verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. As working for the Lord, not for men. Now, our quest for excellence doesn't mean, friends, that we become perfect. There will never be a perfect church as long as it is made up of imperfect people. Isn't that true? Oh, Pete, I thought I'm perfect. No. And if you ever do find a perfect church, I've said it in the past, do not join it because you are going to mess it up. I'm just joking. That's a joke now. Others are like, I'm mad now. No, I'm only, you know I'm playing. While we won't be perfect friends, we still must strive for excellence. Amen?
Amen.
Eh? That's what God is looking for. That's what God blesses. We need to be strategic in letting our light shine for Him. Some people think they have done their duty to be a light by going to church. No. We come to church for being equipped to go out there to be the light. Amen? When we step out of the doors of the church building, we are entering the mission field. We are to go out from this place into a dark, dead, and dreary world and tell them about a Savior who loves them and will save them if they come to Him in faith. Jesus said to them in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned." Friends, we are to reflect Jesus' light. And we do so by proclaiming the good news. We do so by proclaiming the gospel. Peter said in 2 verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We were once darkness, but we are the light of the world, and we are to live as children of the light. Friends, a story is told of a man whose job was to be on the railway tracks and warn with his light, his lantern, his lamp. His job was to warn the upcoming train of the bridge that was damaged. That night, as the train came, the man showed his lamp, but the train went right into the ditch. The man was taken to court because they wanted to know why the train did not pay attention to the man who was to warn the train. Were you on duty on the night that the train had an accident? The man replied, "Yes, sir." The judge asked again, "Did you have your lamp with you?" The man replied, "Yes, sir." The judge asked the last question, "Did you wave your lamp to the train?" The man replied, "Yes, I did." So he was not responsible. Later, he went home and he told his friend, he said, "Man, I was glad the judge did not ask me if my lamp was on." Friends, we are to be different. We are to be obvious and visible. We are to be strategic. And one more, we are to be influential. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus is saying, let your light shine before men. He defines light here in the sentence, friends. Light for us as our good deeds. The word good in the Hebrew is kairos. It means attractive or beautiful. or lovely. It is that which is pleasing to the eye. And Jesus is saying that people will be attracted by the beauty of your life. Others will be drawn to the by the way you live. Jesus is saying, when they see your lovely ways, they will praise your Father who is in heaven. Your good deeds, your lovely deeds, your lovely ways. Last week I spoke about the moral decay going on in the world around us. But let us not despair, friends. You know why? The darker the night, the brighter the light shines. Amen. It is precisely when the world is at its worst that God's people are at their best. We were made for days like this. It is wonderfully simple. We do the shining and God gets the credit. And here's why. Light does not call attention to itself. Light doesn't say, hey, look at me. It provides illumination so that other things can be seen as they really are. You see, men, when men see a beautiful lit city, they don't discuss the lights or the light bulbs. They talk about the architect. When men gather around a dinner table, they don't praise the light above, say, wow, look at that, that's a nice light, eh? Instead, they give credit to the one who prepared the meal. And so it is when our light shines to those around us. They see our good deeds. The darkness falls away. They see spiritual reality. And in all this, God gets the credit.
Amen.
God gets the credit, friends. Our life should reflect something more than the world has, because we have more than they have. We have Jesus. He has forgiven us, saved us, changed our hearts, given us hope, put his love in us, given us joy, set our feet upon the rock which cannot be shaken. And if he doesn't make a difference in your life after doing that, then do you really know Jesus? Or do you really know about Jesus? Is the light of Christ being made visible in your life? Or has the light gone out? Has the passion for Christ become religious, ritual, and routine? Well, light the torch again, friends. Light it again. Just because it's gone out doesn't mean it has to stay out. We can't change the past. You know why, friends? 1 John 1 verse 9 says, reminds us of God's grace. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our sins can't be undone, only forgiven. Don't hide the light. Take it out and hold it high. Friends, we were not created to be secret disciples. We were created to be torchbearers for God, torches that are held high. John Piper said, you are either a microscope or a telescope. When people see you, do they see a dinky little God who can be seen only under a microscope? Or do people see a holy, awesome, majestic God as if they were looking through a telescope? Let's shake and shine, he said, and be the salt and the light of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Friends, God doesn't call us to be average. He doesn't say, I'm looking for a bunch of mediocre people. People who are barely getting by. God doesn't call us to blend in. God calls us to be light, to be different, to be obvious, to be strategic, and to be influential, and to serve for God's glory. That's why he called you the light of the world. Jesus calls us to live at a higher level. At a higher level. A young boy about 9 years old went with his parents to Europe one summer. And as they visited many cathedrals, he saw the massive stained glass portraits of people in the windows. Beautiful. Mom, who are those people in the window? He asked. Those are the saints, she answered. The little boy thought for a while and then said, oh, I know who the saints are. They're the ones who let the light shine through them. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, for the last 2 weeks now, you have been speaking to our hearts. You have been calling us to a higher level as we face the new year. This is the message you have for us. I pray that you would use us as salt and light to influence the world for you. Bless us, Lord. Bless everyone who's here, everyone who will hear this message. In the name of Jesus. Amen.